our whole service is based around the client and really deeply understanding them, and taking the time to not only just, you know, hear what it is that they're looking for, or but like get underneath that, go a layer deeper. Mm-hmm. And I think that really, that the goal that we have is we don't want to just sell them something. We want to be able to, you know, 5 years down the road, get the invite to the barbecue.
I've spent the last 8 years embedded in our local business landscape, and I've learned one thing. Facts only tell half the story. I'm Ann Donnelly. Join me for an intimate look at the minds of the innovators and leaders shaping our region. From the North Country Media Network, Upstate New York's Voices of Authority, this is Building Success Stories. So I'm here today at Realize Brokers. And I'm really excited to be here with you guys today because when I saw you guys start up, I loved the name. Right, it's kind of like Realty, Realize. Yep. It's new. It's different. You weren't affiliated with any of the large kind of agencies. So you're out there on your own doing it. And then I saw that you were actually getting results. So I'm really glad to be here today to talk.
Thank you. We're very glad to have you here.
So why don't we start here. This is Spencer.
Yes.
Bray.
Hello.
Spencer Bray, tell us a little bit about your background.
So my name's Spencer. I was born right here in Glens Falls. I graduated Glens Falls High School in 2013. During my time in school, I developed a strong passion for aviation. So I wanted to go into the airlines, you know, maybe corporate flying, whatever it was. So I actually ended up going to Schenectady County Community College. Mm-hmm. Got my pilot's license there when I was 18 and started working locally right here at the Warren County Airport. So I was fueling up the planes, moving them in and out of hangars. Really, really great, you know, experience there. And I just always had a strong passion, I believe, for entrepreneurship, just kind of, you know, the art of making money. So I was the art of it. So at that time, I started buying and reselling things on like eBay and Amazon. I was very curious about, you know, kind of how to make a buck on the side. So I'd go to these different auctions, purchase these things, and resell them for more. You know, throughout that, also kind of just a deep, I think, passion and curiosity with Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. That's actually what led me to Nick. Right here, who is the co-founder. It's the two of us of Realize. And that's a little bit about me.
Okay. And Nick, tell us a little bit about your back.
Yeah. My name's Nick Ketter. I'm a local guy. Went to Queensbury. So I'm a Spartan. And ended up going down, played football at UAlbany, studied business down there, and then got a job working for GE in their down in Schenectady, on their emerging technology team. And it was a really cool experience, but I learned pretty quickly that the 9-to-5 corporate, you know, life wasn't going to be for me. So I I met up with a couple of local people, and I ended up getting connected with Mark Levac. I worked for him for about 2.5 years, learned a lot of really, really great, you know, things from him. He was an incredible mentor. And then I started up Realize Brokers with Spencer, now going back about 5.5 years ago. And you know, for me, like what got me into real estate, I mean, it was like always just this curiosity around. I can remember I was in college and there was six of us that were all living in like an off campus house, and we were all paying $500 a room, and then just like starting to add up the numbers of like, all right, so there's $3,000, like what are the expenses? And that's kind of where it, you know, the embers of it started. And then, you know, once I got into it, it just, you know, it's kind of just, I love it. You know, I love the puzzle of putting a deal together of you know, helping someone find what they're looking for, you know, whether that be in residential, commercial, ground up development, business. So it's that's it, I guess. That's the spiel. Mm-hmm.
So how did you meet? Because you didn't go to school together.
right? But you're both local. But.
Yeah, we actually did not know each other in high school, which is cool. So there was a local cigar bar right next door to this office, which is kind of cool. And so we met, you know, right there one night. And we actually, we started talking about cryptocurrency. So we were talking about, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Ripple, all these different coins. And, you know, during that conversation, I think we were both just kind of curious with, you know, the knowledge that we had. But also, you know, there's definitely kind of that entrepreneurial spirit that we had. And yeah, things kind of just got started right after that.
So very like-minded. You were kind of drawn.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it. I mean, you know, you go through life and you just connect with people sometimes and it's just natural. And I think that was kind of the case for Spencer and I. And I think we have a shared passion for the entrepreneurial. We kind of both have that in our blood. Mm-hmm. So that was something that, I mean, quite honestly, we didn't start the first venture wasn't realized. It was called Side Gig. And it basically was an extension of what Spencer was doing, which was a lot of the eBay reselling stuff. And it was kind of like, hey, you know, let's drive out to Boston and buy 10 Mac computers and then, you know, wipe them and sell them on and, you know, make a couple grand or whatever. And, you know, we ended up doing some cool things with that. Bought and flipped a plane and a grader from the city.
City of Glens Falls.
You know, so like we had some good memories with that.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
But that's a good way to learn about selling.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And the marketplace and using the internet to
just
sell.
Just general business skills. Yeah. I think, you know, how to form an LLC. I mean, whatever it is, you know, it taught us quite a bit during that, which has helped us tremendously with Realize. Mm-hmm.
But you didn't want to do the typical property broker model.
Yeah. It's like, you know, a lot of these other firms, it's just an older way of doing things, you know, and I think Spencer and I both have a passion for integrating technology into how we help people. And that's a huge part of, quite frankly, like, you know, you go in, you know, in my experience, like connecting with some of these other professionals in the industry, they're not leveraging some of the technology that's out there, you know, and that they may not even know it, but that puts them at a disadvantage. And it really puts their clients at a disadvantage.
They probably think they are, though. You know, that's the thing. They don't know what they don't know.
Correct. Yeah,
like, that's true.
In my digital marketing career, and now we're going back 20 years, maybe, when they started doing the virtual tours.
Yeah.
And I I signed up for a year with a company that gave you a special, it was actually just a fisheye lens that you had facing up, and it did a whole panoramic shot. And I thought, I'm going to make so much money because all the realtors are going to want to work with me.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we don't want to pay any extra money.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
well, it's.
And now you can't. I mean, now with drones, it's a whole different game.
Right.
But
right.
It got to the point, though, where you needed virtual tours.
Absolutely.
I was a little ahead of my time.
So it was fascinating because when we first launched this, it was right. It was literally right when COVID was happening. And we went out and bought the Matterport technology. Spencer's a pilot. So we bought the drone technology and we started doing all of that in-house. And that was a huge differentiator because at the time, I can remember I used to do like these little statistic things and there was like less than 10% of houses that were on the market had a virtual tour. And it was like, we couldn't believe it, especially with COVID, because COVID was one of those things where
you couldn't
couldn't even go outside without putting a mask on, you know? Mm-hmm. So to have a virtual model of a house or of a space where people could digest that from wherever they are, it was powerful. And it definitely, I think for us, helped fuel our growth.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned on your website too, that people get to have a good feel for the property before they go out there. Because that way you're prepared.
Absolutely.
And you don't go out for no good reason.
Absolutely.
Like you have a good idea of what the property looks like, what the layout is.
Well, and again, I mean, from you got to remember who you like, it's all about who you work for, right? And when we're representing a listing, we work for the sellers, right? And so when we work for the sellers, we want to put the property in its best light. And that's what our marketing package allows us to do is we say, hey, let's make sure everything looks good. You know what I mean?
And do you only take on properties that they will listen to you and this is how we're going to do it?
I mean, we're not rigid in that regard, but I think that, you know, generally speaking, people who seek us out because they like our product and how we, you know, put our properties out online.
Because you don't have like all the MLS listings on your website like everybody else has.
Correct.
Like,
yep.
You know, it's like you've got a number on there, but like you don't have like everybody else. They have all the same listings. Because they're just feeding into that database.
So I guess to kind of explain a little bit about how that works. So the MLS is, think of it as like this central figure. And it's connected to, well, what it does is it's called the Internet Data Exchange, the IDX. And that syndicates out to all of the websites, right? So a lot of agents, their strategy is to just, you know, put the listings in the MLS and then kind of just, it pumps out. It pumps out to Zillow and Realtor and, you know, Trulia and whatever else, right? So, of course, we do that and we do our best to optimize, you know, that approach. But we also custom build our own property page.
Yeah.
And when we custom build that property page, we can incorporate other details that you can't fit into the template of the MLS. So you're not able to give that information through the MLS and therefore you're able to provide more information. And so that's been our strategy, you know, because really when someone is in the emotional process of buying something, they want information. And if you can give them that information and you can format it in a way that's digestible and it's in a way that, you know, is nice and clean, it really, the whole experience around buying it just improves and it makes people feel something, which
exactly
is
not overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Correct.
Which and we've noticed that strategy has provided us quite a bit of value.
Because it's such a big decision because it's affecting your life. It's affecting your finances.
Of course.
It's one of the most, it's one of the largest decisions most people will make in their life. You know, I mean, where you live.
Yeah.
I mean.
Or do business.
Or do business or whatever, you know.
Financially, it's the big chunk.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So it's important to have all this information and not be overwhelmed.
Exactly. Yep.
So what else do you feel like you do differently?
I mean, you know, I think it's really consistent across most agents, I would say, that are really doing it is, you know, we put our clients first. You know, our whole service is based around the client and really deeply understanding them, and taking the time to not only just, you know, hear what it is that they're looking for but like get underneath that, go a layer deeper. Mm-hmm. And I think that really, that the goal that we have is we don't want to just sell them something. We want to be able to, you know, 5 years down the road, get the invite to the barbecue, you know what I'm saying? Or to the whatever, you know, and you know, and I don't, we're very, very sensitive to the value map, which is the perceived value that a real estate professional brings to the table and the fees, right? Because that's, you know, a lot of people, it's like, you know, industry standard is industry standard and that's what you pay. And we're very, we really like to understand our clients and hear them out and then work with them and say, look, you know, maybe this person wants to do it a certain way and maybe we're willing to adjust on that front. Or, you know, maybe they want kind of more of the standard package or maybe they want something that's a little bit more intensive. You know, maybe they want an approach that's a little bit more private. There's NDAs, there's this, there's that. I mean, it's, we have a very, very white glove, you know, premium service that's client centric. I would say really that's the biggest differentiator. And then of course the technology piece. I mean,
You provide a range of
things. Yeah.
So you can do the high end, like you said, the white glove service, and then you can do the things that are a bit more
absolutely
standard. So when you first, like, I'd heard about you guys, right? And I was like, you know, they're young. Like, I'm old. So, you know, I'm like, they think they're going to, like, you know, kill it and all this. And then I started seeing results. So I was like, what is going on here? So the first thing that result that I was seeing was the Peppermill. I'm from South Glens Falls.
Yeah.
Well, not from there, but I lived there.
Yeah. John and Vicky Osikovich, they're the best. They're the best.
So you used relationships, right? And listening and figuring out like what they really needed. So why don't you tell us a bit about that story?
Yeah.
It's public, so it's...
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's a great story, yeah.
So John and Vicky approached us. This was probably...
And did you know them?
No. So this was probably going back 2.5 years ago.
About,
yeah.
Yeah. So they heard about us and I'm not sure who referred them in, but somebody was just like, you know, you guys, you should go talk to the guys down there, I realize. And so they came in and they were like, you know, explain their situation. They wanted to retire. And of course, they were very sensitive to, you know, their employees.
It had been 30 years.
It had been over 30 years. Yeah. And you know, they had a very, very, very successful business. And but they wanted to really sell it in a private manner. And that was very important to them. And so we took the time. And I mean, we were pretty transparent with them that we didn't have much experience actually selling a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, he believed in us, you know, after those initial meetings. And, you know, we ended up grabbing all of his financials and we put together a really nice, clean business valuation, and started to disseminate that out privately. And, you know, of course, NDAs involved and all that stuff. And we were able to procure a buyer, and the buyer, it was just crazy that he had came in and he was looking, you know, Chris Dorr, Chef Dorr, and his wife Jenny, and I actually sold them a house years prior, and he was just buzzing around Glens Falls one night and popped in and was just like, I think I want to open a restaurant down here. And I'm like, well, if you want to,
the timing could not be better.
If you want to buy a restaurant, you know, I was like, if you want to buy a restaurant, like I got one for you. And boom, he looked at it and it was like, you know, then we started the process, and then it was linking them up with the bank, and it was structuring the deal properly. So there was, you know, enough, a structure that was going to work for both sides. But, you know, fortunately, we were all able to work through. They, you know, linked them up with the guys at NBT Bank. They're, you know, in my opinion, they got an incredible team, anything commercial or business, you know, anything like that. NBT boys, that's where it's at. And, you know, they got it done, and fortunately we closed, and it was wild, the meeting when like John and Vicky, you know, we all met with the staff, and it was like, hey, like you're meeting,
you were there for that, right?
It was emotional. It was a wild experience. But I mean, it's just, you know, those two are just, you know, they're hardworking people, blue collar. They grinded and grinded for years, and they deserved everything that they got, you know. And fortunately, it was a happy story in the end, and we were able to get it done for them.
And the Peppermill's going strong.
And it's going strong. And
the new ownership, and they haven't changed things too significantly.
No, and that was a big thing that he, you know.
I wondered, you know, because he'd been working at, you know, higher end restaurants in Saratoga. Didn't know if he would try to, you know, but it's kind of like a diner family restaurant, but still going strong. And that's always good to see.
It's great.
Absolutely.
To see.
Yeah.
So it's a good, you know, I love seeing things getting developed down in South Glens Falls.
It's the old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right.
True. Yeah. True. And they were very careful about all that. So this is not your usual property transaction, because they're selling a business.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and they wanted it done a certain way, because there's certain businesses, like as soon as you see a for sale sign, people start to panic.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But they had their staff. They wanted to be sensitive about that and make sure they're taken care of, and their customers as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, people start to, you know, so you handled it well.
Thank you. Yeah.
You did the relationship part of it. Because that's what I wondered, how much of it is relationship.
Oh, it's all relationships.
Yeah.
You know, you're from here. You know a lot of people. But what do you do to continue to build new relationships?
I think a big part of it is
just getting out there, you know, meeting new people. We've also noticed.
Just the cigar.
Not just the cigar bar, you know, we've also noticed like lunches are very popular, you know, so some old friends, you know, whoever it is, you know, that you haven't maybe spoken to in a while. It's like, just go out to lunch, you know, talk to them. I mean, there's new ideas all the time that can come from it. So, yeah, it's just kind of getting out there, I think, and just living.
A big part of it. And I think, too, it's you know, the social circles that you put yourself in, and then the way you treat people, you know, I think that's if someone interacts with you and they have a good experience, then, you know, the next time you see them, they're going to be friendly, you know, and I feel like that's just like, you know, human nature, kind of 101 thing, you know.
Yeah. What you give out, you get back.
Exactly.
Well, and referrals are a big thing in property. Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it isn't any type of business, but even more so.
Even more so in real estate. Yeah. Yep.
Well, and I think like on that point, when we're talking about referrals, like we feel very blessed because we have so many incredible professionals locally that like we have the most utmost confidence in. We're saying, look, if we refer somebody to MBT, like they're going to take care of them, you know, and that's the key piece. That's and when important. You do that enough,
it's a good referral.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. Like, you know, we're not giving out referrals.
Not just, I know this guy, he's my cousin or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like, these are people that we've vetted, we've worked with, we know.
Attorneys, plumbers, you know, HVAC, electric, whatever
inspectors,
it is. You know, yeah, we've got that.
Because it weighs on you. It's a reflection on you.
Exactly.
If it's not a good experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and really the network of those you know, professionals that are you're able to refer out to, you know, throughout the process of a real estate transaction, that's also ultimately also what makes the experience smooth.
Yeah.
You know, because when you're referring them out to people that are doing a good job, then a good job is done.
Yeah.
You know?
And in a property transaction, there's a lot of different people that need to get involved.
Absolutely.
You've got your banks, you've got legal, you've got
the inspectors, like Nick said. Yeah, it's a huge Rolodex of people.
I got to say, too, golf. I mean, I'm a big golfer. I love golf.
Oh,
so golf's
the G word.
Golf's a big way to network for me, at least. You know?
No, I get it. It's not uncommon.
Yeah.
Yes. But only certain times of the year.
That's true. Unless you hop on a plane, though, in the wintertime and go down to Florida.
Because now we've got hometown or golf simulators and various things.
Yep, exactly.
Or, yeah, if you thought about, like, you, how far of an area physically are you covering?
So, I mean, right now, the real estate business, we're really staying relatively local. I mean, we have properties that we represent that are in the Saratoga area. And
we just closed on one in Albany about 2 months ago. Yeah, month and a half ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
and then I would say like we go north, you know, a little bit north of Lake George. But I think I think what's important to understand is there's different asset classes. Right. And so we have realized brokers. We, you know, essentially do all of them. You know, we'll do vacant land. We'll do residential. We'll do, you know, commercial, obviously. And then, I mean, we've even gotten into some apartment leasing. That's been something that, you know, has been a new, kind of revenue, vertical for us. And then of course the business brokering. And quite honestly, the business brokering is something that Spencer and I in particular are very interested in, more of a geographical, expansion of, you know, the real estate is, as you kind of alluded to, is very, very, very reliant on relationships. So for us to start, you know, rolling down to Albany and thinking that we're going to just be like running with the big dogs, like that's not really how it goes.
It's
like,
tough.
You have to know people, you know, people have to trust you and it takes time to, you know, build those connections and those relationships. So, you know, but in the business side of things, there's, I don't want to say there's not as much, but there is certainly more opportunity to connect with people that have needs.
Yeah.
You know,
and we're also very good at it, too. You know, throughout all the business valuations.
No humans here.
Yeah, I mean, we've done it multiple times, and we can, you know, consistently sell a business. So, we're very kind of excited, I think, to get more into that.
Mm-hmm. So you had another kind of well publicized transaction in Lake George. Was that a whole island?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yes, that was the Green Harbor Mansion.
Yeah. Those are nice projects to get involved in, I'd say, or are they more trouble?
Oh my God, it's like feel so blessed to have to have sold that one, you know. And there's a lot of it's an incredible piece of real estate. You know, I mean,
3.3 acres right on Lake George. We sold it for $6.5 million about 3 years ago.
Yeah, and I mean, it was one of those ones that just so much history, and there was so many layers to that particular deal that, you know, we were able to work through over the course of time with the seller and then with the people who ended up buying it. And they've got some pretty interesting plans that are actually, I don't know, you know, how familiar you are with what's going on up there and what they're proposing. But so, yeah, they're looking at converting the mansion to an event venue. And
a lot of people are going that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about weddings on Lake George, you know, it's, I mean, people are spending big bucks, you know, And that's quite a, it's an incredible point, you know? So yeah, it was a cool one for sure.
Very fun. Yeah.
Good one to have.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
What do you have going on at the moment? Anything exciting?
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, we got to, I wish I could tell you.
This weather's getting better. I don't know if this is seasonality. Like a lot of people don't want to be thinking about this in the wintertime.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the difficult thing about this business is, you know, there's only so much that we can say right now, as far as what's in the works.
Yeah.
We've got the Sorrentino's Mark and Deli right now for sale in South
Glens
Falls.
Yep. South Glens Falls again.
Another South Glens Falls. Yeah.
I'm going to get my sandwiches.
I know.
Well, you know, one of the things that was a little, a little frustrating was, you know, we had put out this nice video kind of showcasing, Rich and the Market and Deli, and then,
and like, the opportunity.
And just the fact that it's for sale and like, hey, listen, like, you know, somebody comes in and gives him the number that he's looking for, like he'll sell, you know? And then everybody took it as just kind of how you had just said, like, he's done, like he's closing. It's like that's not the case.
He's putting out the feelers.
Yeah. I mean,
it's worth doing or not.
Well, he has an existing business and he has something to sell, you know? I mean, he's got, you know, he's been there for years and years.
So another one in
Clifton Park, yeah.
Yep.
He did close that one.
That location
up.
Closed. Oh, yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I guess I'd like to just PSA, like, they are still open. Sorrentino's is still open.
Yep.
And
still has really good sandwiches and stuff.
We actually had lunch there earlier today.
We did.
So.
We did.
Yes. Yeah. We love their subs. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have good subs.
Yeah.
So, Sorrentino's.
Sorrentino's.
If you're thinking of buying a Market Deli.
We got another one coming up.
Beautiful South.
Listen, I got one in South Glens Falls that, and I think you'll like. Yeah, but it's I can't talk about it right now.
Okay.
But a couple months from now, it's a cool one.
That's good because I like seeing things getting developed down there.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been living there about 8.5 years.
It's a great area. It really is. Yeah.
I mean, the biggest challenge from my understanding is just the ability for developers to be able to come in and get approvals for their projects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a huge deterrent right now. Like I know because I've represented a few different pieces of property down there, and it's like
that's the other individuals involved that we didn't mention earlier is when you're getting into zoning and things like that.
Well, they have no control over it, you know, but there's cost. There's hard costs, and developers, you know, they want to come up here. And that's Saratoga County. I mean, there's people that want to invest in that. But if it's going to take 2 years to get an approval for a project,
they're going to move on.
They're going to look at something else. Yeah.
Because
I mean?
There was some article that I was assigned to and I was talking to the developer because it was something that was going to happen down in Moreau. And he's just like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, let me know when you know. And it was like,
right.
I kept following up with him and it was still like, I'm still waiting. So I can imagine his frustration. I think he ended up moving on.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do. Yeah. You know, they get to a certain point and they say, well, you know, it's not. Things are, you know, kind of stagnant and let me move on. So, yeah.
So you're right here on the corner of South and Glen. It's one of my favorite corners. It's so beautiful.
Thank you. I mean, we love it here. I mean, also, you know, factoring in, you know, Bonaccio's got, you know, 100 plus units coming up. We've got Patton,
South Street.
There's going to be, 150.
It's already starting, you know, some things have opened up already.
Exactly. You know, new restaurants going in, new, you know, businesses. So we're very fortunate to be here. We love this corner. And we're going to be here for some time.
No,
so.
It's great. It's a great spot. You can see everything going on, which I think is important in your business.
Absolutely.
Because you can feel the energy of this city. It's a city, right?
Absolutely.
City. Just going past here, all the traffic, all the people.
It's a good thing.
You know, like Glens Falls is a good city.
It's a great city.
I mean, I'll tell you what, the restaurants that have popped up in this little community, I mean, there's some really fantastic restaurants. And you could go down the whole, I mean, it's like, we can name everyone in the city, you know, but it's like, they really, there's like a little bit of a renaissance going on with the restaurants up here. And I think it's going to continue and it's bringing in people from some of those surrounding areas.
Yeah.
And then like the nighttime, you know, like if there's a hockey game, like good
luck. Definitely. Right.
You
know? Bring it apart.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Southpaw's like one of the better places to go right after a Thunder game. But it is getting known outside the area. Now, I know a lot of people moved up here during COVID from the city and other more populated areas.
Yeah.
Did that contribute at all? Like, you started during COVID, but...
Yeah, I mean, we saw a lot of people that were just like, again, you know, like, I mean, they were, you know, New York State was making people put up, you know, pieces of plastic in between you at a restaurant. You know what I mean? And you had to wear the mat. Like, people were coming up here and they were like, man, it's beautiful up here and there's space and
the
like
outside.
The prices are cheaper.
Yeah.
And they're just like, what are we doing? You know, and
that
saw
a giant push up 87.
Or remote working.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
I think the big thing, though, too, is that a lot of people, you know, don't take the COVID push was huge, but the housing market in this whole area, capital region beyond, really, it absolutely boomed right around the COVID time because of the interest rates. The interest rates were so low.
I bought my house
and
just before the interest rates went up. So I got very lucky.
You got very
lucky. It was just like, yeah, I mean, so you know. I mean, what was your, I mean, if you don't mind, like, what was the rate?
I couldn't tell you.
It was probably sub four.
Yeah.
It was probably sub four.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but that's.
So I was lucky, too, because I was dealing with Tisha Mahaley.
Yeah.
Who I met through Women in Business stuff that I do. And she was kind of like, Ann, like, we can get this in right now. You know, you're going to be in good shape. And it was like, yes, okay, good. She did that for me.
Yeah.
So. She's at NBT now.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're building an all-star team over there at NBT Bank.
Right?
Yeah.
Shout out, Tisha.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're great over there.
So that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
And relationships. That's the thing, too. But, like, yeah, that was hard looking at properties. And
well, I guess the point was, like, there was so much.
Developers were buying stuff up so quickly. It wasn't giving people that actually wanted a home much chance.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just records were just being broken every sale. It was just like, oh, boom, like you put it up for sale and it was just going
multiple
up.
Offer,
going up
multiple
going
offer, multiple offer.
Yeah. Like
you had to get out there right away, you know,
get
an offer in quickly.
Yeah, yeah. But. So that was like, and I mean, it's still, the inventory has been very low. We're speaking more in residential right now. Commercial has been relatively stable. You know, there's always deals that are available even when rates are higher, you know, because a lot of times commercial is more dependent on the sellers and when they're looking to sell.
Yeah.
But residential is you know, is one of those ones where like a lot of people right now are just sitting on it because they're gonna sell their house and then go buy something else and they're gonna trade out of a rate.
That's the problem.
It makes no sense. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of logical sense in it. So the only people that are really selling right now are, you know, maybe the people that are looking
to
retire
or
they have to.
Have to.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to say it like that, but
no,
it's...
I know. But like financially, to do it financially soundly, like, you know, it's not the best time. But,
yep.
Yeah. You know.
I mean, there's equity. A lot of people have gained a lot of equity, but you know,
they might need to downsize or.
Yeah. You know. The difference with the commercial stuff is the commercial loans typically have a 5-year term.
Yeah.
So at the end of 5 years, you got to figure something out. You got to refi or sell, you know? So there's a natural
turnover
with that you don't have in residential because residential could be a 30-year term.
Yes.
They're not, you know, there were a lot of people that I did see, they got 10-year, you know, average variable rate mortgages. ARM mortgages where they were able to get a lower rate, but then it's a 10-year term, you know, so they'll need to refi within 10 years, you know, but chances are the rates, I mean, they already have come down a little bit.
Yeah.
Hopefully they continue.
That's the goal.
Is there anything else that you can foresee for the future? Any advice for people that might be looking at property or other things in the area?
I mean, you can go Spence if you want.
I mean, I think this area, you know, in general, I think it's a very desirable area.
Yeah.
I think that has become very evident for a lot of people. And I'm just very, I would say, bullish on the general area, you know, especially, you know, Glens Falls right now. You know, we're kind of seeing this this boom in Glens Falls. So I love kind of being here in the city and also just, you know, like I said, the area. So very optimistic of overall growth here in this area.
Do you think it's going to make it less amenable, though, to the people that are originally from here? Like, I know a lot of it is to our benefit, nicer restaurants and things. But, like, I lived in Ireland for a while, and mm-hmm. I lived in a place that was really touristy in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the local people didn't like going downtown.
Yeah.
On the weekend when it was really busy.
Yeah.
It was like,
And we see some of that with, you know, the Village of Lake George, right? Like during summertime, it's a lot of locals, they prefer to, you know, maybe
Saratoga,
stay away.
They get out of town.
Exactly.
And rent their houses.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the reality is we live in a very touristy area, you know.
This is a different kind of development here, too, because some of it is community-minded, like with the farmer's market.
Oh, yeah.
And the shops and things that are going to open up, like, you know, they are very much more something that's building this community into something next level, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dog spa, yes.
We're getting a bubble tea place.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I actually put that lease together.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yep. Very excited about them.
Very exciting.
Young couple from Plattsburgh. They've got a very successful bubble tea shop already up there. And they've loved Glens Falls, and they wanted to open up a business here. So it's super exciting.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Different types of things, you know, because I was walking down the other day. I was at the Golden Monkey.
Yep.
And my first time at the Golden Monkey, and then walking down the street, looking in, wondering, like, what is going to be in here? Like, guessing, like, is it going to be another car?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you start to hear, like,
yeah,
bubble tea coming.
Yep. They'll also be doing smoothie bowls and, you know, just various coffees and stuff. And I think they'll do really well. You know, they do a lot on social media, big presence online. And then they also do quite a bit of like Uber Eats and DoorDash. So, yeah, I think
that
they'll
I think
they'll do really well.
Add to the business.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very exciting.
It is.
So no other sort of trends or. coming?
I mean, just to Spencer's point, like, you know, the Adirondacks, I think, is like a major, it's like underrated. You know, I think a lot of us take it for granted and just how beautiful the area that we live in really is. And I mean, there's people that, I mean, you think of like these other geographical areas, like in throughout the United States, even, and like the Adirondacks is one of those places, like to these, other, you know, like, and like, that's a thing, you know, and Lake George is like, you know, one of the best lakes in the U.S., you know, it's like we live in
East and when keeps
the queen. Yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, you know, so I think, you go to some of these other states and some of these other areas, and there's a lot more opportunity for development. There's a lot like from a statewide and then like a local municipality level, there's more support for development.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
it's, absolutely. Of course, it's a very delicate dance because we have so much beautiful nature up here. But, you know, I believe this is an area that developers in general would want to continue to invest in over the course of time. But, you know, regulation can be a major deterrent, you know, to actually seeing that play out. And, you know, because I think to your point, like, of kind of maybe like the pushing out of like the natural community that's been here for a long time. I don't really think that's going to happen because I think this community is very, very strong. But what allows for the demand for this area to get filled up is that development.
Yeah.
You know, it's that, you know, hey, let's put up another housing, you know, in the logical areas. You know what I mean? And
careful development.
It's got to be careful. It's got to be thoughtful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's just my, I guess, but I mean, like, you know, to the listener, I mean, look, you know, real estate is non-renewable. They're not making any more of it. And, I feel very fortunate to have a lot of clients that, you know, as they've made purchases on homes and different investments, they've all done pretty well, you know? So
yeah.
I guess that's, you know, as just a general thing, it's, you know, real estate's, it can be a very, very good, you know, wealth,
preservation vehicle,
wealth preservation.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you two are the founders. You have a couple other people working here.
We do.
Are they both agents or?
They are. Yeah. So we've got Matt Rafferty, who works for us. So Matt, he's excellent. So him and his wife, Kara, they're opening up Hometown right across the street. So they're wonderful. So Matt, he's handling all of our new construction home builds right now for us with Foothills Builders. And then we also have Megan Durkin working for us. She's handling a little bit more residential side of things. And then also some of our rentals that we're doing right now. So apartments, all the leasing, and Megan's doing a wonderful job. So it's the four of us.
Hope to grow, do you think?
That's one of the big things that
we've got a beautiful space here.
We do.
One of the things we're very, very conscious of is that anybody who's going to come and work for us, we want them to be making money. You know what I mean? We don't want to just like...
It's not going to be sustainable.
We're not just going to set them up and say, all right, go sell real estate. Like it's that... And it's not... Our approach is more of like, we want to have these revenue verticals where we can help feed that, you know what I mean? And kind of help support that and, you know, set our people up to an extent, you know, so it is sustainable. And then of course, build the right training, and also build the right systems and processes through technology. And that's been, quite honestly, that's been a huge focus of ours is leveraging different software tools to really automate aspects of the back end of what it is that we do. Yeah. And that allows us to then identify these verticals and then invest in, you know, setting them up and, you know, setting them up the right way. So the client and, you know, our agents are both happy and everybody's doing well.
Yeah. And we've been very methodical about doing that, you know, because we've had a ton of different people reach out to us. You know, they've recognized the growth within our company. They've recognized that, they want to work here. And so we've been very strategic about, you know, how we've gone about that.
That's smart.
Yeah.
And I mean, real estate in general, like, and kind of going back to that question early on about what separates us is like, even that approach is different from the other brokerages. Cause the other brokerages, it's eat what you kill. It truly is an eat what you kill business.
Yep.
But like, we don't look at it like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like we're not just bringing people in and say, all right, go out and sell, you know, like that's not what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And so that's a big part of the reason why we have a small team.
Yeah.
You know, cause we really want it to be to where, hey, if they're coming in and working for us, like, you know, hopefully that will last a while.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cause you're very mindful of how you're running your business and you want to keep that.
You know, it,
you can control.
Yep. You know? So we can control it, but we also, you know, we really want that steady growth year over year.
Yeah.
So.
It takes a lot of time to build up consumer trust and, you know, a couple of bad experiences, you can lose it in buckets, you know?
Yeah.
So I think for us, we're very mindful of that and of the product and the service that we put out there. And it's worked so far. I mean, we're going to keep rolling.
So if anyone wants to work with you.
Hit us up.
Absolutely.
Your website is?
RealizeBrokers.com.
RealizeBrokers.com.
That's
it. I'll have more information in the show notes.
These conversations often begin as feature articles for the Saratoga and Glens Falls business journals. We've partnered with them to turn those printed insights into broadcast quality authority assets, allowing you to hear the person behind the business in their own words. Thank you for joining me and listening to the Building Success Stories podcast. Subscribe to the show so you never miss a lesson from our region's most influential voices. And if you found value, the best way to support the local business community is to share this podcast with one other leader who needs that spark today. For more information on the North Country Media Network, visit northcountry.media.